You're listening to the AI Ireland podcast. My name is Mark Kelly, the founder of AI Ireland. If you're new to the podcast, AI Ireland's mission is to accelerate the use of AI for the benefit of our society, our competitiveness, and everyone living in Ireland. To achieve this, we run projects of national interest, most notably the AI Awards. As a member of AI Ireland, we make available in-depth case studies of AI being applied in Ireland and access to our private member areas where you'll find exclusive interviews and webinars. To find out additional information on how to become a member, please head over to AIIreland/memberships. Quick one, before this episode starts, about 75% of people who listen to this podcast on audio platforms, Spotify and Apple, haven't yet hit that follow button. If I can ask a favor to you, if you've ever enjoyed this podcast, please can I ask that you hit that follow up button on that app. It helps the show more than I can ever say. The bigger the show gets, the better the guests get. Thank you and enjoy this conversation. Hello everybody, you are listening to the AI Ireland podcast. My name is Mark Kelly, founder of AI Ireland, and I'm very, very happy to welcome Dr. David Brown, Archival Discovery Lead Beyond 2022, and he's also a research fellow at ADAPT. Dr. David, thank you very much for having me on the show today.
Well, happy to join you.
Dave, tell us a little bit about the Virtual Record Treasury and some of the amazing work that you and the research team have been involved in.
Well, the Virtual Record Treasury is a virtual reconstruction of a building that was destroyed at the outbreak of the Civil War in 1922 in Ireland. It has existed since 1864, and its function was to collect all public records in Ireland into one place. So that's legal records, local records, police records, ancient historical rolls and parchments, going right back until the 13th century, basically until just after Strongbow's conquest of Ireland or incursion into Ireland and the start of English rule, up until 1922 when English rule ended. So it was basically the archive of English rule in Ireland, although there was obviously lots of references to Irish people in the archive. What we were trying to do was to find any copies of items that were destroyed in the archive, digitize those and put them onto a public platform. That's the short description of what we wanted. We got hold of the original architectural drawings of the building. We produced a 3D walkthrough model of it, so people can go onto virtualtreasury.ie and walk through the building as it was when it was built. We've constructed a number of subject specialist parts of the archive where we were able to find almost complete sequences of classes of documents that were there. So we have medieval exchequer rolls. These are sort of 14th century tax returns, and we have 17th century maps, survey maps of Ireland. We have an 18th century census of Ireland, and these are all called gold seams, and they're also on the website. It's basically standalone, not so much standalone, separate things that people can explore and have a lot more background. And then we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pages of records that we found as images that are searchable. There were, as we discovered later on, about 250,000 volumes in the record treasury when it was blown up, and we've maybe found about 10% of those as copies around the base. We have about 70 libraries who've joined us in the search, so they're all over the world, and they scan their holdings and send us the images and we process.
So you are working with a lot of data that comes in a lot of different types of forms, and I'm guessing you're trying to unify this data so you can start to make some sense out of it and trying to share stories through that and kind of. Are you trying to, well, maybe give us a little bit of an overview of the different types of data you're working with?
Well, there's two, well, the non-AI part of it. There's the whole data management structure where you have descriptive data of documents coming from different libraries, and they all have their own way of doing things. There are a few standards, and we've adopted one called ISA-G, which is used by the National Archives of Ireland here and the National Archives in the UK, who are two of the biggest archival partners, as you'd imagine. And what we've tried to do is map all of the data coming from all the other various libraries. And some of these libraries are just people's houses where they have a little private collection and they've heard about the project and they said, okay, you can scan our stuff and use it. So there's no scripted data really to begin with. Some use American norms, and some use whatever norm that the small archive decided upon in the 1960s. So all this has to be sort of smooth and smooth, so it's all cross-searching. That's the non-AI part of it. The AI part of it, which is the interesting bit, shall we say, is that most of the documents are printed reports. that were done for the government and various other bodies and ended up in the archive. A lot of it was handwritten, and a lot of the copies are handwritten. They had been done by historians and other types, just by family history researchers who went into the building before 1922 and copied things out. So with the bulk of the documents that we're finding being handwritten, we have to find a way of making a handwriting search, which is one kind of problem if the text itself is legible. So if you or I could pick up the document, say it was written in 1900, so the handwriting is similar to handwriting now, we could probably read a little bit of squinting. Once you get back to the 17th century, or you get back to the 14th century, you can't read it without specialist training. Only a handful of people can actually read the documents of the representative images. So as these began to build up, and as the number of, say, 17th century pages we were finding went from a handful to thousands, we were looking at a problem of having thousands of very nice, valuable pages, but nobody could read them. Like, you couldn't read them. I can barely read them. I'm supposed to be able to read them. And we didn't want to end up producing something that wasn't of a lot of use. So we had to look at a way of transcribing. So say it takes a skilled person, they're called paleographers. It might take them, you might be able to do 5 pages a day. Now we have 50,000 pages. We have a 2-year project. So immediately you can see the problem.
That is a major problem.
Yeah. So we came across a project in the University of Innsbruck called READ. It'd be running for about 10 or 12 years. It's an EU-funded Horizon 2020 and FP7 before that. And they'd be looking at a very similar type of problem with German and Latin texts. They'd actually managed to pretty much crack being able to transcribe using machine learning these early modern German, French, Latin, and so on. They had done very little work with English. So we had to produce training models in English, which most Irish record office documents are written in. There's a Latin, mainly English, and we had to produce models for reading these English texts, which meant we had to find either do the transcriptions ourselves, or we had to find existing transcriptions. And there we were unlucky because there was an earlier adapt project called the 1641 Depositions that ran in, I think it finished in about 2010, but they produced 250,000 words of transcription of 17th century, impossible to read handwriting, done by very, very skilled people who knew what they were doing. So we were able to basically collect together some existing texts and some texts we created ourselves. Transcribus say you need a minimum of 15,000 words of transcription for a ground truth. We produced about 2 million words, which meant that we also have very good nominal data for people and base names in our language models. And we actually got something that works extremely well. So that's really got the AI part of it.
You're able to leverage what was done by ADAPT before, which is great. And then you're able to train the models and you're just using technology as an enabler where it just wouldn't be feasible with any other option, which is
It's way beyond a straight automation or a productivity tool where you can use AI to speed things up and to do things quickly and to interrogate data quicker than you can do it using other methods. But what we're able to do is to do something that I suppose is the dream of the AI industry, which is we can do things that humans can't actually do, which is read these documents. When we first got it to work, we were stunned. And that was with fairly simple stuff. When we got to the end of our last iteration of training this big model for 17th century things, I thought, we're doing a presentation for somebody. And I thought, I'd better just go in and fix it up a bit so it looks nice, rather than having to explain to them that, well, this sort of works most of the time, but obviously you have to do edits. And I wasn't able to read. So I didn't do any editing. But, you know, the results we're getting are remarkable.
When you look at us, so we've talked about the challenges and we've talked about the why, we understand why we're doing it. When we're looking at where we think we could go with this in the future, what other applications do you think we could see?
At the moment, we're looking at tables because we can do text and we can do text very effectively. But there is a lot of data buried in historical tables that actually are use in the modern world. At the moment, we're looking at old Met Office tables. So basically starting in the mid 19th century, which is sort of the peak of the Industrial Revolution. So we're looking at the kind of pre-industrial period and moving into the high industrial period, where they have local weather data from about 20 weather stations across Ireland, taken every day or sometimes twice a day. And these are all again on a handwritten table, which you can't access. So if we could access this data, then we can do an awful lot of climate modeling going back to the pre-industrial period. That brings us right through the industrial period of the present day. We think this will be really good use of the technology. One of the things we'll probably be looking at.
Yeah. And then if you're doing that for Ireland, I'm guessing you could do that for some of the other countries and then you could start to link it and then suddenly it scales.
Yeah. Because again, and also Ireland is this And climate terms is sort of a sentinel area that we get weather off the Atlantic that influences weather patterns everywhere else. Western Europe, Philippines. Any record of the weather. Our data is very similar to UK data, and they also have records that go back probably even further than ours. So yeah, there's plenty of applications for this. And yeah, we're looking forward. We're reasonably confident it'll work. What we have to do with this one is not so much train the handwriting recognition, which is a solved problem, but train hand-drawn tables to be recognized by machines. So the lines, the horizontal and vertical lines aren't always the same. They're not printed forms. They're often drawn by hand with a ruler. So they have different widths and different depths. Again, we think this is eminently trainable.
It's really exciting where we've now got applications that if you're living on the island of Ireland, you're going to find this is genuinely interesting. So you're going to find it really, really interesting. Even as a passing, you're going to find that interesting. But if you look at the tables where you can start looking at the climate modeling, that can have such a big impact to everybody's life. Was there any particularly that you found insightful from the virtual records treasury that got you thinking?
Well, at risk of everybody falling asleep, because I do economic history and trade, I tend to look at numbers. So I'm the sort of person who finds old customs tables interesting. This is goods coming in, goods coming out, how much stuff was being imported into Ireland and from where was it coming and who was handling it. Taxation records are really interesting to see how successful the economy was, or to see where the tax money being raised here was going, and it's going to some really weird places. So being able to gather abstract data from historical manuscripts quickly and in a form that can be used for answering research questions is great. I would point out, though, that as an historian, we do look at machine learning as basically a sub-discipline of history, because what's happening is historical data is being taken and used to answer or suggest problems basically for the present or the future. And so we are actually perfectly familiar with concepts. How the algorithms work, we've no idea, but I think we have that in common with many of our computer science colleagues. But as conceptually, we actually enjoy working with machine learning. We find it easy, and we're used to basically looking at old data and figuring out, you know, who made it, why did they make it, where is it from, what are the flaws, this kind of stuff. So it's a good application for historians.
Yeah, it's a brilliant application for historians. Slightly off topic. Let me know one application of where the money was being sent years ago. That was a little bit strange. Or can you say?
After Cromwell conquered Ireland, and they decided to give most of the land to either old cronies of Cromwell or cronies of Charles II, they raised a special tax here to finance what turned out to be a doomed imperial exercise in Tangier. So they raised money on the Irish Exchequer, and they used that money to pay to set up a colony in Tangier that ultimately failed. What they also then did was to pay for military forces being sent to the Caribbean. They would loan the money to the Irish Exchequer, and then the Irish Exchequer would then have to pay these soldiers and pay back to the British government, the UK government, for the money that had been sent. So there's kind of a circular thing going on whereby Ireland's paying for the empire, and it's all basically hidden on the tables, and they kind of Exchequer money coming in, Exchequer money going out. But there's actually a lot of sleight of hand going on here. Here it looks like the British Empire is being funded by Westminster, and it also looks like Westminster is subsidizing Ireland because we're incapable of raising enough taxes to pay for our own wealth. But actually what we're doing is paying for that empire. So this is the kind of funny way it's going.
Very interesting. I'm sure we could have a separate podcast on this, Davis. You've been listening to the AI Ireland podcast, and my name is Mark Kelly, and I've been speaking to Dr. David Brown. Dr. David is an archival discovery lead at Beyond 2022, and he's also a research fellow at ADAPT. David, thank you very much for sharing your insight into the virtual record treasury today.
Pleasure.
Membership of AI Ireland places your organization at the center of the fastest growing technology sector in the world today. As a member, you'll have access to our diverse and highly engaged professional community, which is committed to driving artificial intelligence forward in Ireland. Membership of AI Ireland is for any organization employing data and analytics. We offer memberships to corporate, government, and SME organizations. Interested to find out more? Contact mark@aiawards.ie.